by the kapola, to clarify what you mean, you don't mean kapola as the word Masorah. It's not everybody who has the word Masorah. What we're referring to is the Zohar itself, the Zohar, exclusively the Zohar, essentially the Zohar. The Zohar was in serious debate about its authenticity. The Ankevandim held that it was false, for instance. The Gura held, by the way, that it was authentic. It seems. But there were many, a lot of machlokes about that, among the Rishonim. As a matter of fact, the person who put out these sparring, he stole them from the Red Photograph of London, he goes to the Vatican, he memorizes, and he put out a lot of sparring from Rishonim, and have them in the Yeshiva. He told me personally that he came across writings from Rishonim, which were in complete opposition to the Zohar. And they didn't accept the Zohar. Very strong language, very strong language. They deprecate the Zohar. But he said that he would not print it. So I guess the modern book is from John. But I won't print it because it's against the commonly accepted view today. At one time it was a bit more focused, but today everybody accepts the Zohar and says, I don't want to start a whole world war. So he didn't want to print it. But the fact that most people don't realize it, the fact is, whether the Zohar is authentic or not, is a big question. But, on the other hand, as we mentioned before, whether there was writings like that, whether there were actually writings like that, there's no question. There definitely were. The Sifri Mishnah in the second part in Chagiga, in Doshi. And other sources, throughout Chazal. There definitely were writings which explain two areas. One area is my subversions, I think creation, certain secrets, certain ideas. And the second area is the area about God. And the verse of Heskel and parts of Yeshaya. So the fact that there were, the Chazal understood these statements, for instance, the word and the vision of the Heskel, understood every single detail. There's no question that it works on each detail and it made. It was a beautiful, for those who understood it, it was a beautiful beautiful work, and they wrote it to see unbelievable Chachmas Hashem. The Rambam maintains in the Mora that he uncovered a lot of it. Whether he uncovered all of it, but part of it, definitely there's no doubt that part of it he uncovered, because the Rambam knew how to tell whether something comes from something or, you know, simply projecting on it. The Rambam was a kind of Chachmas. Ram says that he saw from the Pesukim the Chachma, that means he was able to see different points that would show that this is his knowledge of a Pesukim. I mean, the way a person knows whether he learns a Pesukim, whether he, you know, if he's a Rambam, he can tell whether he understands a Pesukim, or he's just saying things that, you know, he's just saying ideas that he can project anyways. But the Rambam knew how to tell whether he's deciphering something. And if the Rambam says that he was able to see the ideas of the Cheskel, so you can be sure that he definitely had a grasp on what was going on there. Whether it was the whole picture or not the whole picture is hard for us to say. We can't pass judgment on it. But the Rambam, when he explains it, he doesn't explain it, because you're not allowed to explain it. That's the second part. So the question is, why is it that there were such writings, why weren't the writings published? And the answer is that the material was safeguarded, because Chazal maintained that this material cannot be in the hands of everyone, only in the hands of the great scholars. So they only gave it over to people who were on the proper level. That's why the area of creation and the area of knowledge of God, metaphysical knowledge of God, are two areas that you're not permitted to discuss, and that's why it was only kept by a few scholars, and that's what it was lost. Even if it was in existence, it would not be permitted to be given over and be printed or anything like that. Okay? So, if the Zohar is the authentic Kabbalah, then people shouldn't be printing it. Alright? So, that's should. And the Rambam explains the ideas. He only explains in a very hidden way. He doesn't know his home. So the way he introduces it is that a person who understands, is on the brink of understanding, will be able to kind of know what he's talking about. Otherwise, he just kind of goes, he moves around and he's going, this is this, that, just note this, and you don't really know what he's talking about. So that's basically what Kabbalah is. Now, there's one important point there. The important point is that the Zohar, if we should assume it is the authentic Kabbalah, or, and if it's not, whatever the authentic Kabbalah was, we know that the authentic Kabbalah contained a lot of secrets. Okay, secrets of creation and secrets of God. Now, secrets is a soul. Okay? Now, the question, of course, the important thing to understand here is what is meant by a secret. That's important. Now, to some people, a secret means some mystical kind of thing. Like a secret, in other words, like an ordinary secret. An ordinary secret, someone's keeping a secret from you, it doesn't mean that you aren't capable of understanding information. You are capable of understanding information, but they're keeping it away from you. But if you found the information, it's giving you certain powers that you didn't have before you had the information. So some people understand secrets in the exact same way as they would an ordinary secret. That is false. That is, without a doubt, false. Because it does not mean the secrets of the creation and the secrets about God. By secrets, we do not mean certain information with which people, like information like with which people could claim certain powers. That's completely nonsensical. It's a childish idea. Childish. What is meant by the term secret is knowledge that most people aren't capable of. So, for instance, Mr. Chaim Zimmer mentions this. Chaim Zimmer says the biggest proof is Sod is a secret, but Sod HaIbor is the secret of Rosh Chodesh. How the moon, when exactly the Rosh Chodesh begins. And to know the precise moment, you have to be in the sky. So the reason why it's called a secret is not because there's any tremendous big secret about it. It's because most people just aren't capable of knowing enough astronomy, like the Rambam says in the Yad HaChazak. The method is, in those days, it was very difficult because it's very complex. Nowadays, the person can do all sorts of things. But to understand the method that they used in those days, that requires tremendous genius. And the average person could not do it. So therefore, it's considered a secret. So by secret, you don't mean... By secret, you mean something... It's a secret in the sense that it's not known, it's not capable of being known by most people, being understood. Now, if that's the case, then why did Chazal hide it? Why did they hide the information? They hid the information for a simple reason. Because they maintained that people would misunderstand the information. Not that... there's two types of information. There's information which people can't absorb at all. For instance, if you tell people there's an equation of E equals MC squared, that's actually no meaning whatsoever. No meaning. No meaning. But if you start talking to people about different areas of psychology, they'll immediately associate with some kind of idea, but the idea that they have may be a false one. Maybe a false one, because they don't really fully understand what's happening when they associate with their framework. Now, the reason why Chazal hid the ideas of creation and the ideas of metaphysics is because if people who aren't ready to understand in this area, people don't accept ignorance. Just like in psychology, people don't accept the fact of ignorance. That's why people who make mistakes in life and not listen to you, you should even maintain that they're in charge. Because everybody knows how powerful you are. Just people can't admit that they're ignorant in an area which is so basic for them and so necessary. So, similarly, in the area of religion, people will never admit that they don't know, unless they really are under the chavon. The average person will admit that. So therefore, what happens is that people read certain things, as I mean that people read certain things about the secrets of creation, about the secrets concerning God, metaphysics, and they've been associated in their mind with some kind of silly concept of the world, and they're going to think that they understand something. And not only will it be a lack of understanding, but it will be a misunderstanding. Because what they're going to be doing is they're going to be associated with some crazy notion, and they're going to believe in this notion now. And now the notion is going to find support. The notion finds support, and they're definitely going to be convinced that this crazy notion that they have is correct. And this is the greatest time. Because the greatest time. Okay? That's why Chazal had a safeguard knowledge. And the Rambam explains this, and he says that's why Chazal had these weird stories and things like that. Because the weird story was supposed to show the average person that you're not going to understand this. It was composed in a way that people will see, look, this doesn't make any sense. So then the Chacham will tell them it doesn't make sense because you don't understand that. Not unravel this. You can't just read. You have to know how to learn Japanese. So the average person will just abandon it, and the Chacham will be able to decipher it. That was the purpose of Chazal, but that was by the world most majestic. When it came to the earth creation writing, because that area is too dangerous. Too dangerous. People can get false notions, false ideas. And in that area, there are very powerful emotions, and people are going to get fed up, and cause destruction. So therefore, they only gave it over to those people who are really afraid. Okay. But the average person today has such a bad notion that his notion of the Kabbalah itself is completely crazy, which is that he thinks Kabbalah is not even a rational system, which means to say that it doesn't appeal to the intellect. In other words, that Chazal were intellectual until it came to this area. In this area, they were like crazy mystics. This is total nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Chazal understood the Kabbalah, it made sense to them in their minds, just like they learned the Gemara. The Kabbalah made sense. And they understood it. There was no new part of them that was being touched by the Kabbalah. It was Das. The Das, what does Ram say? That the mitzvah is the Das Hashem? Is the Das Hashem. Mitzvah is the Das, which takes away Hashem, and all for all of the Das, she needs the Eir. You should know. So the knowledge of God and knowledge of creation was the same area of the personnel as it was Chachma. It was an area of Chachma. But people don't believe that. They believe that it was a different kind of a thing, a completely mystical thing. And they're looking for magic powers, because they believe in their most childish ideas. And the Zohar is something which they jump upon to think that it's like a new magic show, like a hill that we can understand things and gain powers, which is precisely why the Chazal kept it away from the masses, because you see their idea of metaphysics. Their idea of metaphysics is a childish one. Their idea of metaphysics is like their kid likes to see a magic show. That's their idea of metaphysics. So they're looking for a thrill like that. They want to escape reality, and they want to find some way to get a hold of these powers to really help them. You see? Now this is the same mentality. You know, it's an infantile mentality. Most people go out of the state. But for some reason, a lot of people reserve parts of that state for their adult life. And then when they hear something like Kabbalah, they pounce on that opportunity to revive and to expand this state of mind of theirs. And that's precisely what Chazal, that really didn't want people to occur. But today, in today's world, the people who don't even have the most simplistic idea. That's why, see, like when we have a Messiah, you shouldn't learn Kabbalah until you're 40. I'm sure you heard it. All right, well, it's 40 now. But the idea, what is the idea? The idea is that no one can even think of learning Kabbalah until he's a master in halacha. If you're not a master in halacha, you don't know how to think properly. So what do you certainly can't do that. But you'll see today that people who study Kabbalah aren't even interested in halacha. They don't know the slightest inkling about Allah. But they immediately learn to Kabbalah because there's something which attracts their emotion. And that's why whether the Zohar really is the authentic Kabbalah or whether it isn't, I guess we really can't know at this point. I mean, we can't, unless one of us becomes a tremendous scholar to make a decision on time. But barring that, we really can't know because there's some which are answered yes, some said no. Big debates about it. But it doesn't really matter, because if it is, So then it's something the Chazal didn't want the masses to know with respect to the secret, for obvious reasons, that to understand it, to unlock the secret, requires very chachma. So therefore, if you read it, you have to know that you're not going to understand what it's talking about. So it doesn't do you any good anyways. Okay? If it isn't the authentic Kabbalah, so then whatever the authentic Kabbalah was is lost today. But nevertheless, our notion of the authentic Kabbalah is important. To know that there is a Masorah, and that Chazal did know how to unravel the Nebuahs and the Cheskel, and there was a tremendous source of Chochma. And as a person rises in Chochma, perhaps you can understand, you know, more and more of what the Nebuahs are. Okay? In terms of our Lachal HaMaisa, we have a clock. But if there is a skew between the Kabbalah, between the Zohar, and between Halacha, there's no question. We don't follow Do we follow the Kabbalah where it doesn't contradict Halacha? Okay. So many say there is no Chiyuv to do it. There's no Chiyuv. But many say that you should do it. And I want you to do it, but there's no Halacha to do it. But many say you should do it. So what kind of a Chiyuv is this? So the answer is, if the Zohar is a function, then there are certain practices that the Zohar mentions. The reason why a person should do them is not because it's going to benefit them in a mystical way, not going to give them any special powers. Because special powers is basically about the Zohar. I mean, I'll go through it in a minute, but it's because there is a benefit in preserving certain ideas, even though they don't understand them. But at least to preserve the fact that there is an idea such and such. So the purpose of doing the action would be to remind you of the fact that there is a philosophical idea in this area. You don't understand the idea, but you should be aware that there is a philosophical idea in this area. Okay? Give a person something to think about, and to preserve the concept of Kabbalah, that there are deeper metaphysical ideas. So if there's a value in doing it, it's only because of that. There is no powers involved. See, anyone looking at, for instance, that question of Einhard, right? Anyone that believes that there is a force of an evil eye, there is no doubt if they feel that and they believe it, it is the exact same feeling that a primitive tribesman who believes in an evil eye has. So you can't differentiate between these two feelings. So to say that it's something different and it's part of Yagos is crazy. Because it's the same exact thing. The person's on that level. You have the primitive tribes that believe in the exact same thing. And anyone who actually feels and believes in the power is definitely partaking of the same kind of power. That idea is without a doubt about his life. Because that idea is saying that God, who is just, and who the Torah tells us, I don't see any word in the Torah where the Torah tells us to believe in our Lord, but the Torah tells us one thing, that God judges people justly. Which means if you listen to my mitzvos, you receive schar. If you violate the mitzvos, you receive an onus. Now to say that a person who doesn't keep the mitzvos, but wards off an evil eye, is not going to have a punishment. But a person who kept the mitzvos and wasn't wary of an evil eye is going to suffer, is to say that God is not just. And it's to say that there's another power in the world besides God. So to believe such a thing is to deny the Achdus Hashem and to deny the omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Malchus, one of the things, Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, deny Malchus, because he's saying there's another force in the world which God somehow can't get under control, and this other force can affect people. In other words, a person's a tzaddik, and therefore he's going to die from this force. Which means God certainly wouldn't want to die from this force, because he's a tzaddik, he kept the mitzvahs, but God apparently can't control this force. So this force, somehow or other, is stronger than God. This is, what could be more blatant denial of God than that? And that's why I tell you that such an idea is really, truly Avodah Zarah, and the greatest proof is, philosophically, this is an idea, but aside from that, there is no difference between that same feeling that people have in believing in, between the feelings that the Hottentots have and the other primitive tribes, and they believe in the exact same thing. The fact that they believe in the exact same thing is proof that it stems from a very primitive part of the mind and has nothing to do with Torah. if we were to try something else, if in fact there was such an important idea that a person can die from an INR and that's nothing to do with a serious thing, maybe someone could explain to you why the Torah, which is written to give a person life and to lengthen his days, and no one denies that the purpose of the Torah to give a person life and have a good life, and many are written enough to lengthen a person's days, why didn't the Torah openly, in one or two psukim, explain to us that if you don't watch yourself, in this, everything's fine, but if you don't, you're not careful about this evil eye, you want to expose yourself to the dangers of death. Certainly God in his great chesed gave us the entire Torah, but certainly spare a few psukim about this important notion which the rich will lose your life. And yet there's not one pasuk in the Torah that even expresses such an idea, or even alludes to such an idea. Even alludes to such an idea, even gives a reference to people being having a tzibur to watch out for an ayin hara. Does not say such a thing. And that would be a very important thing after all. I mean, to preserve a person's life is even docha kol haTorah kula, to mechal Shabbos to preserve a person's life. And the Torah wouldn't spend a pasuk to explain that's an important principle, but it's not there. That's why I say that to believe such a thing is without a doubt against the Torah. But if a person believes, not that he thinks that there's a force, but he believes that what Chazal said by Ayin Hara is an idea, a concept, which is based upon reality, and which a person can understand, which is subject to human understanding, which makes sense, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But to believe in forces and demons is, I mean, Yetzirah of Orachos, Yechos Hashem Vosikot. Why do you say that? Because, as I'll say, people shouldn't be Shterashiyas. Shterashiyas. There's a Rishis of Choshech and a Rishis of War. As people project onto reality, there's one emotion. There's one side of them which is the Yetzirah and one side of the Yetzirah. So they think there's two forces. That's believing in any force, in any force besides the ultimate force of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's absolute clear. Yeah, it's yes and the reality. Matter of fact, I mean the pasuk. It says, "Tamim tiyeh imar Hashem orkav." Should be whole of God. And everybody talks about that. A person should not even be choker asidus. Person, even if a person has the ability to look into the future, you should not even try to do this. Tamim tiyeh imar Hashem orkav. It means that a person knows that God is the only force, any power in the universe. And there's nothing more to, the person starts looking for these things, it means that he's denying, and now he's looking for other other kind of forces to protect him. But there's no such thing. Free will means the idea of free will is the concept of free will is that God created man in a way. What does free will mean? Literally, free will means that a person is not simply programmed from the second he was born to go through all the actions that he goes through in his life. Everything else is programmed. The moment the frog is born, it's programmed exactly what it's going to do the rest of his life. This is in all the factors, but you don't have to work that way. That's it. Everything is programmed. Man is not programmed. There'll be no purpose in human existence if the person is programmed. The idea is to just learn through things that we're already predestined before the moment of death, the moment we're born. So therefore, the concept of free will means that man is capable of determining his own path. Now, God, it doesn't mean God can't control such a thing. It can't be that God controls such a thing. It has to do with God creating such a thing. That's his creation. Man is created in that. That's part of man. See, in other words, you say, look, so God can control the laws of nature. And he can't control. He created the laws of nature. God can't control a lion and kill him in a zebra. It's nonsense. And he can't control. That's his will, is that this is the way the lion should kill the zebra. That's his will. But that's the way he created the universe. So that's not an external force. That's part of the creation. So man has free will. It's not that God can't control man's will. God created man with free will. It's part of his nature. Okay? But to say that there's an extraneous force that kills people, or that controls them in some way, and that God can't do anything about this, and all the mitzvahs of the Torah tell us that if you live a good life, and you're going to get a reward, and you can tell me that in spite of what the Torah says, there's a certain force that's going to zap you, And when you're robbed of this reward, I mean that God can control a certain for us, which is completely ridiculous. It's against the character of God. There's no fault in this life. The Rebbe says, the Gemara says, a person doesn't understand his Rebbe's mind from this fault. It means, on an average, it doesn't mean exactly that. Verse 40 is the time where the emotions are reduced. Ayin hara, the concept of ayin hara is Allah. Allah. The Gemara says in the beginning of Balbasa, Asul Adam Lano Besada Shahavera Beshah Shah Mothers Bekamasa. The person is not allowed to stand in his neighbor's field at the time of harvest. The field is ripe and ready to be harvested. He goes in his own field and he sees, wow, look how much it is. The Rav one time said that in today's society, it would be translated as follows. A person would not be permitted to look at somebody else's contact, but try to evaluate how much a person is worth. Not ugly. Same way. That's what it means. Now, why is most of the Mishum Ayin Hara? Now, as you said, if I'm not mistaken, it means Chazal said that most people die from Ayin Hara. Not correct? Die from Ayin Hara. I think so. There's more than that. Maybe die from Ayin Hara. What it means is basically like this. The psychological thing. The Gemara says that when the Chachmei Yisrael met Alexander the Great, so Alexander the Great asked him, what should a person do to have a good life? So Chazal, in a truthful way, told him, they said, Yachkin is Atma, to make himself small. So Alexander the Great, died at the age of 42. So he didn't take the rest. But the concept is, the Chazal maintained that most people in life are looking for one satisfaction. They're looking for to express to others their own value, what they're worth. So therefore, they want to be successful in business in order to get the nice house, to show others, to demonstrate to others. So Chazal maintained that kind of a love is what kills a person. Takes away his ears. Why? There's several reasons. Psychological reasons, number one, is kind of the number that's screaming, you know, to prove something, success, management. But aside from that, the fact is that human nature is such that people are envious. And when a person raises, just take a look, you see, for instance, some people people are ruined by this kind of thing. Politicians especially. Politicians, but they run for high office, and then they get scrutinized. They get scrutinized. People discover things about them. They get wronged. They'd be much better off if they didn't run for office. Okay. That's all the concept of Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara means that a person who raises himself on a high place, on a high pedestal, is going to suffer by being an object of envy of others, because that's human nature. And the higher a person places himself, the greater the envy, and it might be might not be necessarily expressed overtly, but it's covertly as well. And this envy causes people to try to harm you. So Chazal held that if you really should be good things in life, God is good to you, successful, money, as children, you understand. Don't go around bragging about it, because what you're going to do is you're just going to arouse the envy of others. People are envious of you, unconsciously they want to get you. So when situations arise where they can, they will. A person is a chacham recognizes that this is not the root effect, and it's a natural process, a natural law. Okay? That's why the same thing was with the brothers, because also when the brothers went to the train, they went into separate gates. Because Yaakov, that's Ayin Hara. Why? Because you see 10 people, apparently they're unusually handsome, good looking. You know, they're thick and they're rough. See 10 people, who are those 10 guys? They're listening. Oh, they're 10 girls. Brothers, you see, family? People are kind of very envious. There's something special about them, you know? And then they try, they may praise them. But the Gemara says, I'm a verach, as we're able to call the cold weather above. Somebody who blesses his family with a very loud voice in the morning. So Eric followed that, by the time even he calls, they will be cursing him. Why? Because people start off That's what the Gemara says. And Rashi knows, now everyone talked nicely about this. Because he started talking nicely, and then Peter starts saying, yeah, but there's one thing with this guy. He's a wonder, but there's one thing. Yeah. Yeah? Because the nature, human nature is such that they want to destroy people. Honestly, it's human nature. Okay? So therefore, Chazal, he placed no value on ostentatiousness because they couldn't see the value in that. What do you do? So say, a person that's a chacham, it's quiet. It's quiet. Don't show off. Don't show off. Showing off, you're setting yourself up as an object for everybody else in this world, mostly in jealousy. And they'll be nice and smart to you, but underneath there's room to can't get rid of it. And why should a person want such a thing? Situations in life you can't control, different things happen, and all of a sudden the guy comes in, zoom. See? And he gets it. That's why Chazal say that Ayin Hara is such a curve. That's the philosophy of Ayin Hara. True idea of Ayin Hara. That's why there's an issue to try to evaluate how much a friend is worth. Because by doing that, you're setting up a situation where unconsciously you're going to hate him. Oh, you have a lot of money. Immediately you feel different. And you see, it's true. People will talk about somebody, you say, oh, no, he has money. Somebody says, oh, he's talking about money. He's not the money. He wins. Right away, they're looking different. Different category, really. He has something that I would like to have. Right? Different way, different way. That he's already set himself up. As I say, after the fellow is in the grip, the person wants to live a good life, he should not try to raise himself to a high pedestal and a high pedestal of the rest of the money. It's going to be, it has to be heavy. Okay? The harm of Ayin Hara, harm of Ayin Hara is stems from the nature of him. Okay? And that's a natural thing. So, that God does not, so if an Ayin Hara kills somebody, it is possible. It's possible. But it's nothing more than a natural situation. And unless a person, of course, a person is a tremendous tzaddik is under the Ashgacha, that we know. And so far as he's under Ashgacha, not even on it. Not even on earth. But not everybody is on the level that they're constantly under the Ashgacha. So it's not wise for a person to place himself in any type of psychological danger or physical danger. Just like you wouldn't place yourself in physical danger, you wouldn't place yourself in physical danger and say, look, I'm a tzaddik. It's nothing. Chacham doesn't say that, that's not the Baruch Hashem. What I'm mentioning to you is not mentioned in Torah because it is mentioned, that's a different kind of thing. See, the Torah tells you the essential mitzvahs and the essential Baruch Hashem. A person who needs knowledge and understanding then perfects himself, and we're talking about the fine points of perfection. The Torah can't say such things. The Torah can't say people at large. Do not, if you're making, if you're earning money, do not demonstrate that as a lot of money. Make a law out of such a thing. I mean, you can't legislate. This kind of thing is not legislated in Torah. Torah doesn't legislate perfection. Okay? Perfection is, for a person to keep this concept requires a person on a very high level. First, he has to have the basics of the mitzvahs on the Torah. Yeah, you can't legislate something like this. The Torah can't put something. If you understand me? That's why it's not in the Torah. It's not in the Torah because the Torah does have cases where Chazal. What's in Chazal? What belongs to Chazal? Chazal is a person interested in protecting his life. So then you could become a person. Regular person can't even hear this because his whole life, first of all, is to demonstrate to others what his self worth is. So what good is it going to do to tell him something like this? It's just going to go completely against his brain. What's it going to do to his energy? You understand what I mean? You can't. It's only for a person on a level of protection. Very few people can do this. It's only a person that has something else in life besides what everybody else is looking for. And if you have something else in life, then you can be satisfied. Look like that. You know what I mean? A person that has anything else, you can't do this. You can't tell a regular person. And they tell Donald Trump not to make himself, not to publicize himself. I mean, he has to. It's his nature. It's an exaggeration. But the average person is on a lower level, but also the same field. You can't legislate something like this in the Torah, it's impossible. A person that learns the Torah and becomes perfected, you're naturally not going to say it. Okay? That's why I asked me Chazal. Yirat Hashem is a very high thing, right? Yirat Hashem is the highest level. We're talking about the Rambam, we're talking about the Nevi'im. But it's subject to variation of degrees. You could have Yirat Shemayim because, like we mentioned last time, because you listen to Chachmei Yisrael. Also love. So that you have to have. Without your shaman, there's nothing. It's the basic part of our Torah. So you have to have it on the most basic level. affected by something like this is only a fine, on a fine level. It's only a very high level person that could handle something like this. You know what I mean? A regular person can't handle this. It's ridiculous. It's not a certain level. Okay. No, you're right. When it comes to Talmud Torah, of course, the person God who makes a sacrifice. It's true that Rambam writes in his letters, he says the reason why they hated him so much was because of Andrew. He writes that. And he told his Talmud, he used to always argue for him, he told his Talmud not to argue. Leave him alone, don't bother him. He was arguing with somebody Rashid in Baghdad. He told him, leave him alone. Don't argue with him. He says, never argue with a person that's great in his own eyes and great in the eyes of the masses. You can't learn about such a person. So whatever this is about, he doesn't bother him. So the Rambam didn't pursue it. But it is true that a person who is great in Torah does really see the case. He does set himself up as an object of honor in the world. And Rambam himself writes in his letters, he says, I know that my sacrifice will one day be accepted among the greatest. He says, but during my lifetime, it can't be because there's too much animosity and hatred and jealousy. Rambam knew very well. But I opened myself, I shouldn't have this one, I heard that. That's kind of terrible, you know. Rambam was mostly an African. That's an African. The way he lived, and self-sacrifice, kind of terrible, Avas Hashem. Worthwhile, but the other reason it's not worthwhile, in other words, if you're trading two different types of goods, you know what I mean, trading the way that makes sense. But the person who wants to, in the framework of the material goods, of course, the trade-off isn't worth it. Just in terms of material goods, you're better off if you just kept what you have and not it's a bad exchange. Really exchanging two different units. The name of the person that I mentioned before is Blau. He's the one that told me about the Shonen that he, I believe it was a Rishon that he had. It was for sure a Rishon, but I don't know, it was one or more. But that mentions that was definitely very much against the Kabbalah, and speaks disparagingly about the Kabbalah, but he didn't want to print it.